Thanks for that. Nice to be here, folks. Thank you for inviting us, and a special pleasure to share this evening with Steve, who I followed to many readings and heard him many times and learned from his poetry a great deal. That's very special to share this. So Cosmic Diaspora is a project that incorporates science fiction and to poetry. And just as an opening statement, as a takeoff, a blast off, I'll read a little piece. All science fiction is a form of immigrant literature. Every time I say spaceship, I mean suitcase. Some dream coughing behind my eyeballs when I walk to garbage bins every night and look at the stars. What I mean is, now that I've been a naturalized alien, I can stop trying to bear resemblance. Now it seems safe to start speaking about the origin at some length, about the origins, but low-key and under control, like a weird animal from behind the bars of the accent. What I mean is, to naturalize an alien is to claim its mind as your possession. Kind of like stabbing the mirror. I'm not in it. You're talking to yourself. You're in the outhouse of the universe, and you're talking to yourself. We're going to start with a piece called Turbine. I'll freely admit, my education was a forgery, man. Came into money and paid off. Those who tamper with the records, they lawyered me out of my alien appearance, not out of the accent. Agree with me as you must. Records are the eggs laid by universe itself. All those composing and tampering, no, it's not a conspiracy theory, but dematerialized dialectics. And I am the living proof. A record in conversation with its own mutation. A record in conversation with its own mutation. The bodiless. What drives me is fugue, not orbit. Space as counter-narrative to what I found within. It's a form of vaccination against my shitty origins. It wasn't meant to be a hostile takeover. Teaching is as menial of a job as you can get on a spacecraft. My mind stayed in the corner, cruise collective liftoff. And when I started deregulating and ad-libbing, when I started mumbling over the records of others, it was a mere impulse. A naked thought I could no longer control. Hacking becomes authorship. When mutation becomes imagination. The stars alight and vacuum. Between them is the guilt. Had our consciousness. Had our consciousness not gotten so intertwined, we'd call this a tribunal. But isn't it? A mere burning turbine. This ship. The ship of this moment. This ship is made of them. The next one is Circle Maker. Vocabulary of light. He composes metaphors about himself. Metaphors without footing, without gravity, without sequence, without ideas or things. He reads light so closely, nothing is recognizable. How else to accommodate the unfolding of it all? I know all of the laws, he broods. All 613 of them, plus the superstitions. But none seem to apply to me. I found the ideal poetic form. At once, womb and loophole, coincidentia and the allergic reaction. But the form's contours and weight slithered into some other project. And this story is my only origin myth? Fucking bullshit. Curtain draws him open, a sentient being, pure space wave. He dreams of somebody invisible to talk to. This one is Taxi. Previously mentioned accordion comes out. There it is. I never understood the depth of attachment you people have to your bodies. Where I come from, we swap them as transportation vehicles, descriptors indicating nothing but utility. Down here I learned even the word possession casts a shadow, vastly pedestrian and esoteric both. What I found entering yours wasn't the amenities I was used to. Neither privacy nor hospitality, and mobility, frankly, was shit too. I was practically stuck. It was as if, and I'm not a superstitious person, it was as if the inanimate innards were watching me, were clamping onto me, like I was a thing, like I was a thing to digest and expel. Thank you. You naturally were out and gone, but your scraps, whatever you call them, they were everywhere. Can consciousness cling to ligaments, to frazzled shadows, limbs? Imagine walking into a taxi and finding yourself in a trench. It suddenly dawned on me, your own ride within your body. It too must be a lot like what I just felt. The thickening darkness, vertigo of language. This is home? Stranger yet, that very thought got things moving. The transport, as it were, no longer pedestrian. I arrived on the next breath. Never moved faster in my entire life. This piece is called Anima. Name wasn't the purity of another future that was burning for her fingertips. It was the way the craft encircled her body with intimacy so ultimate it could only be achieved by a machine. As it mimicked the splintering emotional carpet, she unrolled every time the noise dropped, and for 8 seconds she was utterly alone. And as all space settlers ritualistic about this knowledge, the knowledge you are being disassembled into a diaspora of atoms. A diaspora of atoms that know nothing of each other's existence. Before coming together again, like water poured into a new glass, but without the objective guarantee of continuity. Thank you. The next piece is called Niggin for Cecil Taylor. And I just had a feeling Steve might read a poem or two of tribute to Cecil Taylor, a great jazz pianist and a fantastic poet too, who passed away very recently. So I wrote this poem at his concert. Steve was at that gig too. And Niggin is a chant, a Hasidic chant of the sort that every culture has some kind of version of. So this is Niggin for Cecil Taylor. Niggin is a scarecrow in your old coat and hat. It looks a little bit like you. Scrap prophecy on a stick. sing it is to acknowledge the broken arc. Both hands speaking at once. Extremes of solitude, extremities of solitude, remedies of solitude. Insolvable solitude. Melody. Melody's oblivion pounded into lint. To sing it is to possess through resemblance. To imagine a being that resembles time. Imagine to possess. Freshly unknotted, we dissipate into the scarecrow niggin. Victorious, creaking guardian in a field of pure color. Thank you. This is called Barstool Alien. We keep changing. I keep changing the name. It used to be called Purple Rocks, but now it's called Barstool Alien. If you have a better title, tell me. Seriously, it's like number four. I have all these versions. Yeah, we can make it audience participation. You tell me afterwards. Better title. I'll take a few ideas. Okay?
Okay.
All right. About my world the most? There were these purple rocks you could talk to and feel heard. You knew you were talking to the rock. Plain old purple rock, which on another day you'd keep your kids or your dog away from. And you'd never bring one home. They're slimy and heavy. And it's really in bad taste to be seen with them. But when you needed to talk, there was nothing in the world like those purple rocks. The trick is you gotta be absolutely sure you're talking to the rock, and it is utterly meaningless. And the minute you give up like that, completely and utterly, their ears perk up like boners. There's a chance purple rocks are the way my people decompose. It's a version of skull and bones. Maybe. This one time, I dated a girl and she had purple rock eyes. I tried to talk to her the way I talk to the rocks. And I think she figured it out, because she blinded herself the next morning. And it's not uncommon where I come from, but I was still shaken. You think you know everything there is to know about a person than a thing like this? When I was a kid, my great uncle told me purple rocks are these eggs that will never hatch. What I do down here in your world devoid of purple rocks? I talk to my beer. Don't feel hurt for shit, but I like the taste. I think purple rocks, if I were to taste them, would be kind of similar. A bit alive and a bit dead. A bit sour and a bit bitter. And that's why I come here every night. Sure, you're just another face at the bottom of my glass. But I once heard that ritual preceded the myth. Yeah, ritual preceded the myth. Which is to say, one has to keep on talking. I meant it about suggestions. Anybody alternative titles? Let's get some work done. I'm submitting this manuscript.
The Beatles.
The Beatles?
That works for everything.
Yeah. Like Bugs or the band?
Yep.
Wait, there's a band?
You know Wings?
Anybody else? You got one?
I was thinking like Therapy on the Rocks, like when you ask for a drink on the rocks.
Like, on the rocks. Yeah. I like it.
Liquid therapy.
On the rocks. I love it. Thank you. Anybody else?
You got maybe one? Vodka and slime.
What's that?
Vodka and slime.
Vulcan?
Vodka and slime?
Yeah,
vodka and slime. Yeah. Not on my grandma's babushka.
Vulcan, I thought you said Vulcan. So like Rocky Vulcan, purple, vodka and slime and by babushka is my grandma's babushka. Wow. I think we're getting some work done, guys. Thank you.
The opening line to the next one.
Yeah. All right. Two more? Okay, great. So this next piece is called Tohu Bohus. And it's inspired by a sentence from a novel by Samuel Delaney, great science fiction writer. So he was describing this band. Anybody's read Samuel Delaney? Fantastic, right? So in Nova, his novel, he's describing this band called Tohu Bohus. And Tohu Bohus in biblical Hebrew means like primal void or primal chaos. So I was trying to imagine this band of the future that's called Tohu Bohus. So here's the preface from the novel, and then we'll dig into the poem. Intelligentsia accepted the Tohu Bohus as legitimate music. There are jarring rhythms tumbled across the lawn. A light sculpture in the corner twisted, flickered, grew with tones. It's music because we agree that it is. Invisible horn, vomiting black light. Inside this flare book, nature is gilded coincidence, fermented nerve, mythic atavism. Emitted sound paints your portrait on psychoacoustic cellophane, wraps it around something small, something vile. bending the string, purple fingers rise. Rise far above guitar's Modigliani neck. Above the bruised, toothless mouth and its stratosphere. A pile of near voices walking from harm to harmony, trying to summon black hole, trying to stumble into one. Burnt eyes looking for triggers, tohu bohu's signature move. Dream to inhale light, to inhale thread sons, salon's thread sons so hard there would be nothing left. Black hole dream to drain semantics so the poem could finally congeal. Accretion of dissonance, complete, elegant, and because it is possible, because purple fingers can gather so much paraphrase. There's no doubt left about the beginnings. Heaven is a swamp. Your voice is sinking in, and this swamp groove is the song of its mangled footprints. Thank you. John Schott, Josh Horowitz, I'm Jake Marmer. We're going to do our last number. This is called Please Don't Panic at the Disco.
So when we play to a younger crowd, they get that joke. Unlike, for instance,
us,
the rest of the band.
Panic at the disco.
Please don't panic at the wig styling contest.
I'm gonna run out of that contest with my blunt wig tips flailing in the air.
Please, please stay cool at the cellophane philosophy lecture.
I'm gonna lose my shit 3 seconds into that lecture.
Please don't panic at the bris. Please don't panic in the middle of a religious experience.
No panic, no transcendence. If I am not for my panic, who am I?
Please don't panic at the deportation clinic.
I might choke on my refugee accent, all over those clinics' picnic tables.
You're panicking inside my meta-confectionary misplaced poem.
The voice of the author says, I found the source of my panic and will now remain calm as a Jerusalem cigarette butt in the wrong wallet at the wrong time.
Please don't panic at the disco.
I am the panic of your disco.
Please don't panic at the disco.
You're spinning my disco matzo balls.
Please don't panic at the disco.
Drawing a closed door.
Please don't panic at the disco.
In the middle of the sky.
Please don't panic at the disco.
And anthropomorphizing it too. Cactus up somebody's tuchus to get him dancing. I am your alien panic with nowhere to go, so I'm gonna crawl inside your pop song. I'm gonna crawl inside your pop song and sing my heart out.
Thank you, Steve.